You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to First Bite, our Pride of Detroit midweek preview podcast for your Detroit Lions. My name is Jeremy Rice, and I'm the editor-in-chief at Pride of Detroit. You can find me at Detroit Online on Twitter. With me, as always, is my co-host for First Bite, Ryan Matthews, senior editor of Pride of Detroit, at Ryan_POD. Ryan, how you doing, buddy?
I wish I was feeling as chipper as you are.
I feel like I'm turning it on a little bit. Let's be honest. The first week was a little bit of a drag, but you know what? The Lions picked things up and made the game at least entertaining. And this week should be even more entertaining, maybe for worse reasons, maybe for better reasons. Who knows? Lions, Packers, Monday Night Football, normally not a great place for the Lions to perform. I feel like the last time they played in Lambeau on Monday Night Football, bad things happened. We won't get into that. We'll talk about what happened last week because that was a little more fun on the Packers side. And to talk about that sort of stuff, we have our good buddy, Evan Tex Western from Acme Packing Company, the managing editor over there. You can find him at Tex Western on Twitter. Tex, how you doing, buddy?
I'm just going to prefer to not think too much about last Sunday because at least you guys got an entertaining game to watch. Our game was not remotely entertaining in the slightest for Packers fans. But no, outside of that, life is great. You know, Brewers are in first place. Bucks just won the championship. So Wisconsin sports fans, the triangle has flipped a little bit of Wisconsin sports. Normally it's the Packers kicking butt at the top and the Brewers and Bucks are stinking it up at the bottom. But everything's flipped on its head. It's bizarre. Our world this year.
How terrible of you to only have one good sports team at a time and now two, man.
Yeah.
To punish you for that, we're gonna start with week one, and I want you to tell me everything wrong that happened, and if you could
speak a little slow for me.
Oh boy. All right, well, yeah, there's a lot. It's gonna be a lot shorter list to go through what went right, because that list pretty much consists of our new punter looks pretty good and Mason Crosby hit his only field goal attempt. Just about everything. Okay, the one other positive was that Elgton Jenkins looked really, really good filling in for David Bakhtiari at left tackle. But yeah, outside of that, everything else basically went to crap in that game. The game script completely got away from the Packers because the defense was just sitting on roller skates the entire game. They're getting blown off the ball at the line of scrimmage by the Saints offensive line. And there was no hope when you run 12 plays basically through the first 29 minutes of the game and you're sitting down 17 to nothing. At that point, you haven't even gotten into your game script. You haven't really gotten out of the scripted portion of your offense. And you know that at that point there's no running game, there's no you're in just such a situation where you've got to sit back and throw the ball already just before halftime because you're down three scores. So that I think was the biggest problem was the defense just got gassed early, couldn't get off the field, and then that left the offense to it took a little bit to get going, and that was that was basically all she wrote for the Packers on Sunday.
Well, let me ask you, obviously the question on everyone's mind is how much of that is real? How much of that is the Saints being good? How much of that is just a bad week and you can toss it away? Was there anything in this game that you came in fearing and then maybe this kind of made you feel like maybe that was a good thing to fear, that was maybe a legitimate concern you had with this team?
Yeah, I think everybody was a little hesitant about the defensive coordinator hire. Lions fans who've been around for a while know Joe Barry and, and know not to know what he did in 2008. And so there was a lot of trepidation among Packers fans about him and his defense. And there certainly wasn't any signs that that hesitance was unfounded, right?
Right.
I mean, giving up 38 points in your first game. Again, I don't know how much of that we can really put on Barry. And that's part of partially just because, again, the front seven was getting blown off the line of scrimmage. Everybody not named Kenny Clark was getting pushed back 2 and 3 yards from the line on every single play. And so I don't know that we have really any idea truly what this defense is or what it can be, but against a kind of, you know, downhill running team like the Saints, that was a major problem. And I have some very strong concerns about that unit moving forward.
Would you feel, Tex, that those are your long-term effects that you're most worried about when it comes to this team?
Yeah, it's definitely the defense. I'm not particularly concerned about the offense. I know there's been some talk today about how, you know, the two high safety looks have really stymied Aaron Rodgers in the past and continue to do so. But that's been the book on him since like 2015, really, when Jordy Nelson was out and the Broncos put that blueprint out there. So it's not something that's brand new or is new to defensive coordinators even. It's a matter of finding a way to control the game in such a way that you can roll those two safety looks out all the time, right, and really contain the passing game. The Packers running game has been so good the last 2 years under Matt LaFleur that it's been very easy for them to force teams out of those looks and go to, you know, bring a guy down in the box and go to a single high look. And I think the best example of that was maybe the Rams game in the playoffs last year, is they just beat them up with a run game in the first three quarters. And then they finally got the one big play action touchdown over the top in the fourth quarter to put the game away. So if they can do that, if they can, they can run the ball, control the clock a little bit better and just string out sustained drives early, like they did last season, you know, early in games, I think the offense will be just fine. And then that'll allow the defense to hopefully not be quite as gassed throughout the whole first half and maybe get a stop or two.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at that Saints game. And yeah, I read the two single high or the two deep article over on, what was it, Touchdown Wire, or one of the wire sites.
Yeah, Doug Farr, I think.
Yep. Yeah. I think a lot of people are going to make that connection, especially here in Detroit, like New Orleans defense. We've got Aaron Glenn. We've got Dan Campbell. Like, maybe that's the game plan. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, being able to stop the run first has to come first. And with that, let's talk a little bit more about the Packers offense. And let's start at quarterback, I guess, because Aaron Rodgers is currently the lowest rated quarterback in the league by passer rating and QBR. And I just felt I had to say that on audio.
No. My stream broke up. Can you say that again one more time?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Aaron Rodgers is the lowest rated quarterback in the league in QBR and passer rating. Oh,
wow. Really?
So, yeah. So my question to you, Tex, is he a deep agent now? Is that true?
No, this whole offseason has been such a mess, but no, he's the kind of guy who, when he goes on the field, it doesn't matter, you know, he's going out to fight with his teammates and his coaching staff. And the issue with him is obviously, and you guys know this, it appears to be with the front office. So there's certainly no latent anything that I think is going to at least consciously affect anything on the football field. You know, there was a chance to get right back in that game after halftime. The Packers drove down and were down at the 9-yard line or so. You know, right after half to potentially make it a 17-10 game. And then there's one blown block by a rookie interior lineman. Rodgers apparently takes a shot to the nuts as he's releasing the football, right? And gets double nut shot, as he told Pat McAfee this week. And then, you know, that the ball's way behind Devontae Adams and gets picked off, and that's basically game. So I thought he was, again, the whole offense was out of sync those first couple of drives, and then he found a couple of nice plays before the half and looked like he was kind of putting it together. So Yeah, long term, again, like I said, I'm not worried about the offense.
So you're not buying any of the, like, oh, the offseason drama affected Emery. Didn't, you know, he didn't train with the team. He didn't go to OTAs, that sort of stuff affecting him.
No, and this is his third year in the offense. So from that perspective, it's not like he needed the reps mentally or anything like that. You know, this isn't changing that much. And if anything, it was probably good for us to get Jordan Love those reps for the team in OTAs and things to kind of see what the team has there. So no, I don't buy that. I'm also not really a believer that starters or, you know, 17-year veterans need preseason snaps either. I don't really buy that argument that's been thrown out there a lot too. I think it was just an unfortunate slow start on offense that was compounded by a terrible defensive performance in the first half. And it just, like I said, the game script got away from the team. And the Packers have shown that if you can force them to pass early and commit to the pass and get away from the run, that's when things just go completely haywire and you have a really good chance of beating them.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, touched on it, but I think the offensive line maybe the focus of this game, you know, that the Packers had with the Saints, because, you know, you talk about some of the shuffling that happened along that offensive line. You know, Elgton Jenkins has to kick out to tackle because of Bakhtiari's injury. You know, the guy was such a, you know, good guard last year, was a Pro Bowl guard. And then, as you mentioned, you know, the Packers have to start Royce Newman at guard instead. So, I mean, do you think that some of that shuffling is probably more so to explain for, you know, some of the, you know, breakdowns in protection, or maybe the inability for the Packers to really establish a run game like they wanted to?
Yeah, I think in general, the offensive line, I think, played better than some people gave it credit for. I thought at first glance, I thought that it was a rough game for the line, but on a rewatch and looking through some of the numbers, they actually pass blocked relatively well. They didn't get a whole lot of push in the run game, and that's where Jenkins being on the interior really helps, is because he's a great run blocker on the inside. But at the same time, the Packers run so much outside zone that, you know, how much do you really need that big push in the power game? So I don't know how much that really affects the continuity on the offensive line. Is obviously, you know, a big factor in terms of the general play of a unit. But again, they've still got four of the five starters back from last year, with Bakhtiari out. They're just, you know, a couple of them are in a little bit different places. I'm sorry, three of the five with Lindsley being gone. I thought, all right, Ohio State center replaced him with another one. And just brain farted there for a second, but he had a solid game.
The best center in the league. No big deal.
Yeah. So that's true. It's three out of five guys. A couple of them are in different spots. But no, they played relatively well. I think there were just the mistakes that did happen were at very unfortunate times, like the blown block by Newman. Mm-hmm. And then again, like just not being able to really establish much in the run game early. So I wonder what would have happened, to be honest with you, if the Packers had won had lost the coin toss and New Orleans had deferred and Green Bay got the opening kickoff, because I wonder if that almost completely changes the trajectory of the game, just because, you know, Green Bay gets on offense first, even if they don't go down and score, you know, maybe it just breaks up the flow of that first half a little bit differently and keeps them in the game a little bit longer.
I want to talk a little bit more about the running game. I know we didn't get a great look at it, only 15 carries in that game. They obviously had to move away from it pretty quickly. We can relate. But you know, not a very promising performance from Aaron Jones, but I thought AJ Dillon looked pretty good in that game. What's the split going to be like in going forward? Is it going to be more of a 50-50 split, or is that just kind of the way the game played out?
Yeah, that was just, you know, those first couple drives. I think you saw Jones took most of the snaps in the first series. Dillon came out for a little bit in the second series. I honestly think it'll be a lot. It'll be very similar to how the Packers used Jones and Jamal Williams last year.
Yeah.
More of like a 60-40 split, you know, 60-65-35-ish, and then sprinkle a little bit of Kylan Hill in there for a couple of snaps too. So Jones is still the guy. I mean, they signed him to a new four-year contract this offseason, so they certainly believe in him as the all-around back. But kind of like Williams, Dillon provides a real good change of pace. And I think his receiving abilities are underrated, and I think you're going to see them, you know, not be afraid to use both of those guys in the passing game as well, both as blockers and as receivers. So looking forward to seeing how that moves forward when, you know, the team is actually able to establish the run and stick with it a little bit, because both of those guys are really fun to watch. And yeah, Dylan is just a battering ram, and he had a couple of games this preseason where, I mean, he was dragging 3-4 tacklers 5-6 yards down the field. So he's going to be a fun one, I think, for a couple of years to come. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's what you get to do when you got thighs that look that good.
Right, Tex? Yeah.
You know, looking at the Packers wide receiving core, you know, it's usually Davante Adams and then everybody else. Right. And I mean, look at that Saints game, and maybe it was just because, you know, things got so out of whack in such a hurry, but I mean, 10 different receivers caught a pass. Do you really see this being a trend going forward? Or do you think that, you know, Randall Cobb only one catch for 32 yards? Does it seem like, in the grand scheme of themes, maybe he was really worth the temper tantrum that Aaron Rodgers threw this offseason for the guy? Or do you see those two guys, like Adams and Cobb, being like the two leading receivers in Green Bay?
No, honestly, Cobb only played maybe 3 or 4 snaps while Rodgers was in the game.
Oh, wow.
It was all Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Alan Lazard at receiver for really the first 3 quarters. You didn't see much of Cobb. You didn't see any of Amari Rodgers or Malik Taylor. Basically, they made wholesale substitutions on offense at about the 10-minute mark when it went to 38-3. So they brought the whole basically second team unit in on offense. So no, if you're asking me if Cobb was worth it, well, it didn't really cost anything. I mean, it cost what, a sixth round draft pick. So, right. Okay, fine.
Which I don't understand. Like the Houston Texans had the Packers nuts in a vice grip. Like, I don't get how that works.
It does at least still help them a little bit to get out from under that contract. So it's sort of a win-win for everybody, but I understand what you mean. You know, hold out for a fifth round pick or something.
Yeah, something extra.
But no, I was surprised at how little he did play early in the game. Cobb did, especially because the Packers have talked about how nice it is to have him back as sort of a more traditional slot receiver, because they haven't had that guy on the team for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But again, I think that also could have been a game script issue, a game situation issue, where some of the things they might have used him on, you know, he had one of those jet sweeps that the Packers love to use late in the fourth quarter. I think you probably see some of that early on in the game if it's a competitive game, but instead they had to go to the downfield passing attack. So it was trying to target MVS down the field in double coverage with two high safeties, and you know, you're kind of stuck. So that 10 receiver thing is definitely misleading, because I think 4 of those guys didn't come in and play really at all until Jordan Love and the backups came in the fourth quarter.
Last thing I want to touch on with the offense is tight end, which is kind of an interesting position for the Packers because they've got a lot of them. Robert Tonyan, obviously, he had a breakout year last year. They got Mercedes Lewis. Josiah DeGuara, their third round pick last year, but suffered a concussion in the last game. Not sure if he's going to play. How do they use these guys, and which guys should Lions fans be worried about on Monday?
Yeah, they do each kind of play a different position. Mercedes Lewis is still the classic inline tight end on the end of the line blocker. You'll get him leaking out a little bit on some play action passes. He actually, fun fact, he might be the slowest guy on the team, lineman included, but he led the Packers in yards after the catch on Sunday, which was exciting because he had, I think, one play off of play action where he picked up about 10 yards. Tonyan is more of the move tight end kind of guy. He'll be kind of split back off the wing. He does a lot of the work in the passing game as a receiver. And then DeGuara and kind of his backup, Dominic Daphne, are both kind of the same type of player. They're more the H-back. They'll line up at fullback quite a bit. And you'll see them kind of move all around the formation. So they like to run those guys, like I said, kind of a de facto fullback and get them kind of catching passes and blocking out of the backfield. So definitely a very varied skill set for those 4 players. And they all kind of, you know, fit into the offense in different ways, but I know they really see DeGuara as being like the Packers version of Kyle Juszczyk for San Francisco. Mm-hmm. That was that was kind of what they drafted him to be last year. And then he missed most of last year with a torn ACL. So there's a lot of excitement around the team in what he can bring. Didn't play a whole lot on Sunday before he got concussed. So we'll see if, again, game situation maybe gets him on the field a little bit more this Monday night.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to tackle that Packers defense that looked so, so bad on Sunday. And maybe bring a little hope to Detroit, because we could use a little bit of that as well. So stick around. We'll be right back on First Bite.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And we are back here on First Bite with our good friend Tex Western from Acme Packing Company, talking about Lions, Packers, Week 2 Monday Night Football preview. Let's talk about that Packers defense led by our good friend 0-16 Joe Barry.
Do we have to?
Yeah, yes, we absolutely okay. do.
We have to talk about everybody's favorite son-in-law.
let me start with it. So I don't remember if it was you that I was talking to. There was someone I talked to about the Packers either last year or the year before. I asked them, why does the run defense suck so bad? And their answer was, it's supposed to. They don't really care. They care more about the pass defense. They see yards on the ground and they're just fine with it. I call bullshit. Tell me that seems like bullshit.
I think there was some truth to that under Mike Pettine. Okay. Mike Pettine was always the, we want to limit explosive plays in the passing game guy. That was his mantra. He always played light. He played more nickel and dime than any other defensive coordinator in the NFL. And Joe Barry didn't do that on Sunday. He played a lot of base defense. And it just flat out didn't work. I mean, that was the long and short of it was, I mean, you're playing basically three defensive tackles on the field. You've got two defensive ends, essentially outside linebacker, edge rusher guys. And he's bringing four on every play. And what ended up happening was that the Packers got gashed off the edge, a fair amount, in that game by the Saints running game. I don't know exactly what adjustments they're going to be able to make, but again, they still want to limit the explosive plays, but they're definitely going to play a lot bigger than they used to under Pettine and stick in base a lot more. And I think they only played like two snaps of dime the entire game on like the two times they actually got the Saints in like a third and long. So I think that philosophy is different now under Barry than it was under Pettine, but I do think it was a legitimate thing for Pettine.
Well, I want to stick on the run defense for a while here, 'cause I feel like this is probably the Lions' path to sticking in this game and potentially winning it.
Agreed.
and you know, Lions run offense was actually quite good in the opener. You got Kenny Clark back, so you have to imagine that's going to help the unit a lot. Where was the vulnerability on Sunday?
It was the other defensive line positions. Dean Lowry, Tyler Lancaster were not getting any semblance of penetration or really anchoring the point of attack, which is what they're supposed to do. They're not, especially Lancaster isn't really a penetrator. He's not a pass rushing guy, but he was getting blown off the ball. And it was execution. I think pure and simple. It was just, they got outworked and pushed down the field by that offensive line. Clark is always going to be the anchor of this group. And he is by far the best player and showed it on Sunday. He was in on a handful of plays, but if you can attack Lowry and Lancaster and those other linemen, that's where to go, because the Packers really have not invested on the defensive line in several years, which is surprising considering Ted Thompson and Ron Wolf were always talking about, you know, you've got to find the rare big guys. The Packers haven't used a day one or day two pick on the defensive line since Thompson stepped down and Gutekunst took over as GM and for 2018. I think it's been 2 5th round picks, and that's basically it since then. So I think I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing more of Jack Heflin. He's a undrafted lineman out of Iowa who made the team this year and looked really good in the preseason. I'm hoping they give him, they make him active for this game, because they definitely needed an extra body there who could hold up in the run game. And I think that's maybe his role. But play him in the Tyler Lancaster role. He gives you everything Lancaster does, plus maybe a little bit more pass rushing ability. So that was the biggest vulnerability, was just that line getting manhandled.
Yeah, and obviously I think part of, obviously the Packers' struggles on Sunday was the turnovers, right? And yep. the Saints getting set up in such advantageous field position, because you look at Jameis Winston's stat line and it's one of the most bizarre stat lines I've ever seen in my entire life. Oh, 14 of 20 for 148 yards and 5 touchdowns. He had 4 touchdowns that like totaled 22 yards. Like, yeah. I mean, everything was like these, you know, these red zone plays where admittedly, like, Winston was doing his job. He was, you know, maneuvering in the pocket and stepping up, and he was making some good plays. But when it comes to this Packers secondary, are there concerns beyond, you know, you have a lockdown corner in Jair Alexander? Like, are there concerns that are more lasting with that passing defense?
There are two words that strike fear into the hearts of Packers fans, and those words are Kevin King.
I saw you
mouth at it, Jeremy. You knew exactly where I was going. he only gave up, he was only targeted twice in the game against the Saints, but one was like a 15 yard gain where he was playing 20 yards off the receiver who ran a comeback route and was, you know, had 6 or 7 yards of separation. The other one ended up a 55 yard touchdown when he just couldn't stay with Deonte Harris. There is no reason why he should be getting more snaps than Eric Stokes, the Packers first round pick at this point. He's a veteran guy. He has played some decent football in the past when he has been healthy. He also missed 2 or 3 weeks of training camp with an injury, and clearly is not the guy he was in 2019 when he actually had a halfway decent season. So at this point, yeah, we're firmly on the get Eric Stokes' ass in the lineup and pull Kevin King off the field as soon and as much as possible, because I think the thought process is Stokes can't be worse at this point.
Has there been any sort of indication from the coaching staff that they might go that direction?
There hasn't been anything this week. The fact that King basically played every snap when the game was still in any semblance of contention. I think Stokes played the 2 snaps when the team went to dime, and on one of those 2, he broke up a pass on a 3rd down. So like, give the guy a little bit more run here. I think you've got to see what you've got at least. And this, you know, all due respect to the Lions receiving corps, this is the game to do it, because, right, you know, you're going to give him some reps against a talent pool of the Lions receiving corps that is not what he's going to see against San Francisco or some of the teams the Packers have coming up on the schedule.
Tex, yeah. do you know three of the Lions wide receivers?
I think, yes, I do, because there are three with Packers connections.
Oh.
Amon-Ra St. Brown is Equanimeous St. Brown's brother.
Yep.
Okay.
Quintez Cephas, I guess he doesn't have a Packers connection, but he's a Wisconsin guy.
Yep, yes.
And I saw they just re-signed Geronimo Allison to the practice squad.
I don't know. Is practice squad count?
Is that iffy? There's some guy I heard Trinity Benson apparently is the name of a human being.
I
didn't believe that when I saw it this week.
Very upset that they didn't sign him in time to make my annual name bracket. But yeah,
that's a good one.
It's obviously Tyrell Williams's availability is
in question. Right. He's there too,
but he got a concussion in week one and didn't practice today, so he might not be out. Which means you're facing a bunch of guys that you kind of have to read off a page to remember. So should be an interesting matchup there. The one guy that we almost are certain is going to play and is going to play a big part in the Lions passing game is TJ Hockenson. How are the Packers been, I guess, in recent memory in terms of block or covering tight ends? And do you have someone at that safety or linebacker level that's good at it?
Well, they think very highly of Devondre Campbell, the free agent linebacker the Packers signed this offseason, who was, I think, in Arizona last year and started out in Atlanta. They've talked a lot about his coverage ability, but then you go look back at the numbers from his time in Arizona and Atlanta, and they're not very good. So I think you'll see a lot of him trying to cover Hockenson. I don't know how successful that will work out. Adrian Amos is probably the next guy who you'll probably see on him quite a bit. And Amos is a very solid cover safety, as well as a being good in run support. So those are the two guys I think you'll probably see on him quite a bit. The other thing is that based on what we've seen from the Packers in week one under Barry, you'll probably see a little bit of an outside linebacker on a tight end or even covering a slot receiver in zone coverage on occasion, which doesn't get us excited at all, especially when it's Preston Smith, because he had some issues in that area last year. But that's not something I'm looking forward to, but I think we'll probably see a little bit of that. But you'll see Amos. You might even see a little bit of Chandon Sullivan, the nickelback too. But I would be surprised if Hockenson, did not have a pretty good day receiving, because the Packers have been known to struggle pretty mightily against very good receiving tight ends in the past couple of years.
Yeah, and when it comes to the Packers pass rush, right, it's been, Preston Smith, it's been Za'Darius Smith, like that. Those have been the two names that have been, hallmarks of what the Packers have been able to do the past couple of years. When those guys can't get home, is that problems for the Packers defense?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah especially because, again, there's not much behind those guys and or Rashawn Gary coming off the edge and Kenny Clark up the middle. And Gary actually rushed pretty well on Sunday against the Saints. I think he had like four hurries or quarterback hits in like 16 pass rushing snaps. So that'll do reasonably well, but he lost contain on one or two of those as well and gave up some first downs to Winston on the ground. So rush lane integrity, I think, is also a challenge. If you have a quarterback who can take advantage of it, I don't see Jared Goff as being a particularly an overly mobile guy. He certainly wasn't the last time the Packers saw him in the wild card round.
But not much has changed.
So yeah, I think the challenge is going to be collapsing the pocket from the interior. The best interior pass rusher the Packers have is Za'Darius Smith when they put him at a three tech position on third down on passing situations. And then they put Preston Smith and Gary off the edge. So that's where it's got to come from. And I think I think if the Packers don't start to get a little bit better pass rush productivity from those guys than they had in week one, or even much of last season, the pass defense just in general is going to struggle throughout this year again.
Should be an interesting matchup with the Lions offensive line playing pretty well, although obviously I think their biggest weakness is over there on the right side where they're expected to start Matt Nelson again, converted defensive lineman. I'm curious if they'd ever decide to switch that up and maybe throw Vitae out there, but I don't think we're going to see it right away. So that's a defense. We already talked about the offense. It's prediction time, and we don't like to do the normal score prediction, win prediction. We like to do something we call the one thing we think we know about this matchup, where you just give a prediction about one thing you think is going to happen in this game. As always, I'm going to give it to Ryan first to show Tex how it's done. Do you remember how you did last week, Ryan? I don't remember what you predicted.
I did bad. I said that TJ Hockenson would get locked up and he would only have two catches.
I think this is just residual Kyle Pitts.
Might be.
I think that's what that was.
Yeah, I think I'll stay away from the tight ends this week. Here's where I'll go instead. I like what the Lions did on the ground last Sunday against a 49ers defense that, for all intents and purposes, should be pretty good against an opposing ground game. I think the Lions are going to keep this one close. And because they're going to keep things close, I'm going to say that the Lions have 170 rushing yards.
Ooh, that would get people going.
I see a repeat performance, but I also see Green Bay being able to obviously kind of have their way in the passing game. They're probably going to get back to some normalcy with that. So I see the Lions being able to keep up with the Packers just by having a strong ground game. So I'm going to say 170 yards, and I'm going to say the leading rusher, close your ears, Tex, is going to be Jamal Williams.
What a treat he's been already, by the way. Just You're even welcome. off the field. Just so much fun.
Just not even as a football player, like just a human being. Yeah. What a fun dude.
He's joined our podcast twice. That's how much fun. Before he even played a single game with us.
I think we actually had him on our podcast like the week after he got drafted, and he was just a joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Tex, your turn. What's the one thing you think you know about Lions, Packers, Monday Night Football?
Well, you kind of took the wind out of my sails there. I was also going to say something about the Lions running game having a lot of success. And I thought about going with something Williams related too. What I think I'm going to go with is I think I know there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. And I'm looking at right now, the over-under is set at about 48, which seems very low to me, given what I saw out of the Packers defense last week, given the game that the Lions played against San Francisco, which pretty good defense out there that the Lions were able to put a 30 spot on. So yeah, 48 seems way, way low to me. I'll be very surprised if this game ends up under that number.
Yeah, I'm going to be the third person in here to jump in and say I was going to say something about the running game. I was going to say something crazy like 350 total rushing yards in this game between both teams. And maybe that's what I'll stick with, because to be honest, I don't even want to think about Aaron Rodgers versus Lions secondary right now. Obviously, no Jeff Okuda. Obviously, they're going to start Imani Oruwari and probably a rookie in Ifeatu Melifonwu. The Lions still have two open roster spots as of this recording on their 53-man roster, and no one has any idea what they're going to do with it. It sounded like it was going to be Quentin Dunbar that they were going to add, and then they didn't. So we'll see there. I'll stick with 350 rushing yards total in this game. But also like things could get very, very ugly in terms of Aaron Rodgers coming back from one of the worst games of his career against a secondary that is young and inexperienced and not playing particularly well right now. So that could be bad. That's all I got.
One thing you think, I think it can be bad.
I think it could be bad. All right, Tex, thank you for joining us. I'll give the floor to you before we head out here in terms of maybe any sort of stuff we can read over there at Acme Packing Company and where we can find all that stuff.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You can find us, obviously, acmepackingcompany.com, our Twitter account at acmepackingco. We've been adding a number of new contributors this offseason. So Justice Mosqueda has come on. He's a brilliant football mind, has worked in scouting. He's worked for Bleacher Report. He worked in the XFL for a while. Well, that was a thing. So we're thrilled to have him on board. We're doing podcasts every weekday now. So feel free to get check out that. I'm trying to think if there's anything specific that we've done recently that's kind of fun. Yeah, if you want to see why we're so worried about the Packers defense, we've got a film study piece right now talking about all the issues that the Packers had in that area. So go read that if you want to feel optimistic about the Lions running game and their chances for putting up some points. But yeah, we're just, you know, trying to make it through this last dance season and try not to lose our minds here at this point.
It'll be okay with your sorry little franchise
with your Hall of Fame quarterback.
All right. Let's end it there. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you Tex for joining us again. You can catch him at Tex Western on Twitter and check out everything over there at Acme Packing Company. But until next time, thank you for joining Pack us. Go. Note go to Pack self. Go. Wait. Note to self. Even when life seems horrible, there's always alcohol.
Cheers.